Good evening, Crystal fans. This is your host, Dwight House, for this very special episode number 14, recorded on Saturday evening, November 14th, 2007. Enjoy. Welcome back, Crystal fans. I'm Dwight House, your host, as I said just previous. This is the delayed podcast covering both this month, November, and October's podcast, which was completely missed. We apologize sincerely for that. It was due to circumstances beyond my control and Foxbird's control. We both were extremely busy. So sorry about that, but we'll get more into that during the rest of the program. So, it's been quite a long time since the last podcast, so I thought I'll start off by going through every piece of significant crystal and site-related news since the last podcast, and discuss in detail each item of note, and move along as best I can. Because of that, and it's 2 months worth of podcast in one podcast, this may be a very, very long show. So here we go. First thing I did after we posted the last podcast was I posted a few new Crystal Fan films on the main page, and I also posted a video of mine. I believe I worked on this the weekend after we posted the last episode. It is called Dwight's Star Fox Video Montage, and it's just a conglomeration of all these different video clips from Star Fox 64, Star Fox Adventure, and Star Fox Assault, where I took the audio out or overlaid it with some crazy songs or voices from different shows and characters, things you'd notice, you'd recognize, and I put them to Star Fox characters, and it turned out really, really good. I think everyone's enjoyed it. A couple of people said they would write, one person said they would write a report on exactly how awesome my video was. But I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I just really think it's that good. And other people do too. So you should check it out if you haven't already. It's on YouTube. It's posted on Crystal Archives page. And it's also in the show notes. And just think of it as like a robot chicken, but for Star Fox. So watch it whenever you can. The next thing that happened was Foxbird managed to finally get around to doing the fan art for that time period. He had been busy at the time, so it took him a while, but he finally got all the new fan art from our dev watches and some new fan art from new artists. And it turned to be over 100 and, exactly 150 crystal fan art. So we posted them, and when we added those to the main list, it gave us a total of over 2,000. I made a funny little image about that with the Crystal wearing the Scouter from Dragon Ball Z, and Fox is looking at Crystal and saying, "What? 2,000? Just like Vegeta and that other guy, I can't recall his name at the time, on Dragon Ball Z. That's it's a parody of the over 9,000 meme, which is a parody of Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. So anyway, we had over 2,000 crystal fan art, something we'd been looking forward to for quite some time. But that was short-lived, because one of the next things that happened was over the course of the next week, I went through the entire main list, all over 2,000 links, and I clicked each one individually and checked to make sure that they were still there. And unfortunately, I found that over 200 had gone missing. Most of those weren't from DA, of course, DeviantArt. But a couple of smaller art sites were just completely gone. many great art and artists, great art from great artists, has disappeared from the internet, including some really, really good ones that were my personal favorites. So I was kind of disappointed about that, but I guess that's why I started keeping my own offline collection after I first realized that arts would go missing after a certain amount of time. So I had to add all 200 or so of those missing fan arts to the missing fan art list and subtract them from the main list, and that took us back under the 2000 mark. But I found that it only takes a couple of weeks. I think it'll only take a couple more weeks to get back up to the 2000 mark, and I can reuse that over 2000 image. My analysis of what I saw is something like there's, over the course of 6 months, which was the time it took between the last time I checked for missing art, we lost about 200 crystal fan arts, but we gained significantly more. In fact, every month or so, we gain at least 50. So it should be relatively quick to get back up to the 2000 mark. Now, Foxbird managed to post one more time about fan art before he became overwhelmed with work, with college and some other activities that he's involved in. Really, it's only college now. From what I've heard, he's only been able to do one thing, and that's college work. And I really feel for him and encourage him to keep at it, and I'm sure he'll get around it soon, and he'll get to relax soon. And have a break and get back to doing the things he enjoys. So I wish him the best, and I hope you all listening out there can do the same for him. The next thing was two people, Amaya Chan and Lavelle, submitted new wallpapers for the download section. We thank you for that. Then there was some really, really big news. Sonic the Hedgehog was confirmed in Brawl. Now, I was up late chatting. Well, I wasn't even paying much attention. I was just online with my chat program opening. I was doing something else at the time, probably schoolwork, when Tobias the Fox contacted me and said, "Hey, IGN's doing a live blog of a Japanese live blog of the people at a Japanese conference for Nintendo." Something I hadn't even heard was going on. I guess I just... That news story just went through the cracks with me, and I usually am very on top of these things because I read Go Nintendo every 4 or 5 hours. So there was a live conference going on at about 11 p.m. On October the 10th or 9th, I'm not exactly sure which one, and they were doing a showcase to Japanese media of things for the upcoming year, and one of the things was a new video of Brawl that showed Sonic in it. And it showed, and you've probably seen the video by now, it shows Sonic running and then hitting Mario, and then Mario and Sonic doing thumbs up together, and then Sonic doing becoming Super Sonic or whatever because of his final smash. So, and also during that press conference, it was revealed that Brawl will be delayed in Japan from sometime this year until January 24th, 2008. So that was unfortunate. The next day, I believe, they actually held a conference that was similar in nature. It was for the media, but it was in America for English news media, and they revealed basically the same thing, that Sonic was in Brawl. But they also delayed Brawl for us too, but not until January, no, all the way into February 10th, 2008. So that was unfortunate, too. We're going to have a significant delay, almost 4 months. Excuse me, almost 2 months, over 2 months, a little over 2 months delay in Brawl. Anyway, that very night, which would have been about 30 minutes after I found out about it, Nintendo made their official announcement on the official Super Smash Bros. Dojo website. So Sonic was confirmed, and I lost a bet. I lost a bet of about, I think it was, I either bet $5 or $20 that Sonic would not be in Brawl. And unfortunate. That's unfortunate. I don't take bets often, and when I do, I'm really sure about it. Well, I was really sure about this. There was no indication that Sonic would be in Brawl, and yet here he is. So, that's the way it stands. I owe somebody $20. I'll have to find him because he's back in Louisiana. So Sonic's in Brawl. It means not just that, but it also means that my previous analysis and my future analysis is under question. I've been significantly wrong about something, completely wrong. So I don't know what that means for my next analysis, stuff I'll be talking about later in the podcast. But take it for what it's worth, look at the real numbers, and that's judge for yourself. And we'll get into that in just a moment. So, after that, I had to reveal that the October podcast was going to be delayed indefinitely. It was a couple days late, and Foxbird realized that he wasn't going to be able to finish in time or have enough time to do the podcast for that month, so I decided to delay it until this month, where I had hoped we would be able to do it together, but he's still covered in work with schoolwork, chemistry or something he was working on the other day. So after that, the KA, the Crystal Archive, was quiet. Too quiet. For about 2 weeks, I made almost no posts. Or I made no posts, really, none. No posts in that 2 weeks. And then something happened early one morning. I woke up to see that King DDD from the Kirby series was confirmed in Brawl. This was another big revelation, because King DDD, besides Sonic, was the most requested officially character for Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Now, I had been planning to save this analysis for the October podcast, but since we didn't have it, I decided to go ahead and post this on the site. And what it was is there was an action. I had mentioned in previous, or Foxbird had mentioned in the previous podcast, a list of reasons why Crystal would be included, and one of them was that she was high on the list of officially most requested characters. That list that was posted on the official Dojo website before they changed it to doing an update every day. Well, I actually went out and found the real list, and it turns out there were some slight inaccuracies from the list that whoever posted that stuff about Crystal gave, but there were some very interesting things. And one of them was that King DDD was the most requested character, and he was confirmed recently, and other characters up in the top 5 or 6 were also confirmed. Characters like Ike from the Fire Emblem series. And, let's see, who else was there? There was Diddy Kong. He was lower in the list. Let's see, who were the other ones? Excuse me, I'm not prepared for that question. Alright. Yes. No, excuse me. Diddy Kong was there. So the list goes like this. Not counting characters that were in previous games, and apparently not counting Sonic, because he was like way above and beyond any other character. There was King DDD with 5 votes. Diddy Kong with 4 votes. Geno, he's a puppet from Super Mario RPG, also with 4 votes. Ike, also with 4 votes. He's the Fire Emblem guy. There's Ridley, the dragon character from Metroid games, also with 4 votes. And then it came to the characters with 3 votes. There was Captain Olimar and his Pikmin, which was from the game Pikmin. There was Crystal with 3 votes. I'm guessing you know who she is. There was one character named Takamaru with 3 votes. He's a Japanese-only character, samurai character, and it was from a game for the NES in Japan. And finally, the Wind Waker Link with 3 votes. Everyone else had 2 votes or less, so I didn't really focus on them. But the point is that now that Diddy Kong and King DDD have been confirmed, that leaves Geno, Ridley, Captain Olimar, and Crystal in that order. Because because of what they've said previously about not wanting to include clone characters and not wanting to include Japanese-only characters as much as possible, that pretty much removes the last two. So that leaves Gino, Ridley, Captain Olimar, and Crystal. Now, originally I would have said that Ridley would be an unlikely choice for Brawl because he has wings and he can fly constantly. Which is a no-no for Brawl, for Super Smash characters. They're not supposed to be able to fly constantly because they have to be able to fall off the stage. That's the only way you can really defeat them, or any character. But how they did do Pit and Meta Knight, and they recently revealed how they were going to deal with characters with wings, and that is that they'll be able to glide in one direction for an unlimited amount of time, but it's always downward. And once they jump again, they can only glide in that direction, and only as many jumps as they have. So they would be kind of like a combination of the way Kirby jumps and a combination of Peach's float move. So I think Ridley is possible. Gino from Mario RPG, he has a very, very dedicated following. And from what I've heard, he's got a really good background story, and it just everybody loves him. But regardless of this, he's still relatively obscure. He's only been in one video game, whereas Crystal has been in three. And not to mention the fact that Captain Olimar's even been in two, and he was the main character. Gino was not the main character of Super Mario RPG. But, you know, from what I can tell, they're pretty much going down the list of most requested characters and picking from them what characters to use. So we'll see. He's currently the most requested character. But the most important thing is that Crystal is on there and she's tied for second place. So I was real excited about that. And then something strange happened. That very day, that very same day, Alicia Glidewell, the voice actor for Crystal in a Star Fox Assault, either by accident or on purpose, I'm not sure, I'm siding with by accident, posted on her online resume the fact that she was going to play Crystal's voice in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. This was a surprising revelation because, as far as I know, there have been no leaks prior to this about Brawl. Nintendo has kept a iron lid on all information, and this came out and surprised everyone. I actually didn't learn about this until an hour after it happened, but it was really big. And I posted about it as soon as I could, and Crystal's voice, played by Alicia Glidewell, has also posted that she is doing the voice acting for Knuckle Joe, which is an assist trophy from Kirby Games, and she did the voice of Zero Suit Samus in the game. Now, this doesn't confirm anything specific, except that Crystal will be in Brawl. And that is to say that we can't confirm that she's a playable character. She could still be an assist trophy, or she could still be a playable character, or finally, she could just be part of a cutscene, like the cutscene audio of Peppy and Slippy during the Super Smash Bros. Melee levels, the Star Fox levels. You could call on your teammates, and they would talk to you via the comm system. And they're doing a similar feature for Snake. He can talk on his codec and talk about each individual character. So, anyway, so that was a big deal, this leak. And it was only a couple days later that the information was removed. But interestingly, Alicia chose not to remove it completely, but rather remove it from the site, but leave a hole where the information was. It's my belief that this was a simple mistake of bad timing, which leads me to believe that the revelation of Crystal as a character, be it assist or playable, will be in the next couple of weeks. So, anyway, moving on. The next thing was that I posted another 62 fan arts, and since Fuxbird was unable to do it, and then I posted some more fan art. There's just a lot of fan art. I've still got more fan art to post. Actually, somewhere around 15, sitting here waiting to get enough so I can post them. And then I made another big analysis, kind of like the big analysis thing I posted for when King Dedede was announced. And I posted my analysis of the times and date differences between announcements of various types of characters on the official Brawl site. And I started off with the premise that this information, this crystal leak, that Alicia Glidewell was playing it, was not intentional, and it was probably because of a time delay or a time miscommunication. She probably thought that the character had already been revealed, and therefore when she put it on her blog, it would not be against NDA because it had already been revealed. But according to my theory, there was some time mix-up between either her or her webmaster, whoever handles that. Either way, I also make the assumption that Crystal will also be a playable character or an assist trophy, because quite frankly, she's too high on the list to be a mere cutscene person. So starting with those two assumptions, I analyzed the dates between the amounts of time between new playable characters' revelations on the main site, and I found a pattern that says that basically every 14.16 days there's a new character announced. And it's gone as small as 9 days in between and as long as 23 days since they started revealing new characters. They started with Ike, then the Pokemon Trainer, then Diddy Kong, then Ice Climbers, then Lucas, and then finally King Dedede on October 25th. Now, because of the 14.16 average, I interpolated that if Crystal was to be a playable character, she would have been revealed last Thursday or Friday, which has come and gone, and we've seen no Crystal. So, in order for it to stay within the maximum of 23 days, they will have to announce it by Friday, November the 16th. If they don't do that, we can make one of three assumptions. Either they're going to wait longer to reveal new characters for whatever reason, despite having a clear pattern in the past, or they're no longer going to reveal any new characters, or, there's only two possible explanations that I can think of. And evidence seems to indicate that there are only one, there may be one or two more character revelations before they stop revealing new characters, simply because they need to keep a certain number of characters as secret characters. And no, they're not going to reveal the secret characters before launch. They didn't do it with the first game, and they didn't do it with Melee. And by my estimates, they only have one, maybe two characters to reveal before the rest will be secret characters. So if Crystal's a secret character, we're gonna have to wait all the way until a couple days after it's out in Japan, which is July 24th, for Japanese gamers to figure it out who all is in the game. Now, back to the analysis. I did further analysis on the distance between various announcements of assist trophies, and the timing was a bit more scattered, but the average was 13.5 days, which meant that the next one should have occurred on Monday last week. And that wasn't quite true. It turned out that the next one was revealed on that Wednesday, and it wasn't Crystal, so we can be thankful for that. But it was actually a character called Fox, and I can't remember his name offhand. His real name is Gray Fox. Whose real name is Frank Jaeger, I believe it's pronounced, and he's a cybernetic ninja type character with one glowing orange eye. It's a really, really awesome looking character. He's from the Metal Gear Solid series, or Metal Gear series. So, I'm looking forward to a crystal announcement sometime next week, probably early next week, if this analysis holds true. But after the Sonic thing and after losing that bet, I really don't know what's the chances of that being true. But I hope and pray that it's true that Crystal will be in there as a playable, fully playable character, or at least as an assist trophy. So that was my analysis of all this stuff relating to Brawl, and this was at the beginning of last week. So all that's occurred this week regarding Crystal is actually it's a pretty significant thing. I discovered by accident a video on YouTube of someone playing Star Fox Adventures with an action replay. And they chose to record the ending scene of Star Fox Adventures where Fox meets Crystal. Only there's a slight difference. You see, the user had changed out Fox's model with Crystal's. This is something I've been trying to do for quite some time. And they managed to do it. And it's really funny watching Crystal stammering while looking at Crystal and like meeting for the first time. And I posted on the post, Crystal, meet Crystal. Hi, nice to meet me. One of those weird moments. It would have been more interesting if it had been just Crystal by herself doing some of the more interesting activities, such as after you defeat the first boss in Star Fox Adventures, or not the first, one of the last, with the giant T-Rex. Yeah, Fox McCloud does a backflip onto its head. Well, imagine Crystal doing a backflip. That would be freaking awesome. So I've been trying to get this code for a while. I've even posted a bounty for it. I'll pay anyone $50 who can get me a fully working code that will allow me to stably switch out Fox's model with Crystal's in-game in Star Fox Adventures. And there already exists a fake code for this. Well, not so much a fake one, but a code that doesn't work. It might have worked at one time under a specific situation, but as far as I can tell, it doesn't work. Now, obviously, this person on YouTube made it work, and he did reply even, after a day or so, detailing the codes he used, but he didn't go into a lot of detail about how he used them and where and when exactly, and those things turned out to be kind of vital to figuring it out. Because I asked someone else, Cassandra Black Fox. He's been a great help to the Crystal Archive in the past. I asked him to check it out for me, and he did. Last night, he tried his best, both codes, to get it to work. And all he was able to do is make the game crash, and it deleted his save file. But he had backups, but it deleted his save file after he made it. And so it's kind of a dangerous code. I'm not sure exactly how it works. So I encourage anyone who can to go to my website and look at the video and then go to the direct link on YouTube where the user has posted the codes he used and a short description of how he did it. And experiment on your own and let me know what you find out. That is, if you have a GameCube, an action replay, and a copy of Star Fox Adventures, please, please try it out because I don't have access to my GameCube at the moment. I'm here in Redmond and I was unable to bring both of my systems. So that just about covers it for Crystal related news. That brings us up to yesterday on this site. So I thought while I'm still here, I'd go over a couple things from Star Fox Online. But I just looked at my notes and I'm going to go back and say there was a couple other big things. One is, of course, Crystal wasn't confirmed this week, so we're looking for next week. And finally, I got Super Mario Galaxy 5 days early because I'm a DigiPen student. It's awesome. You should get it. If you got a Wii, get it. If you don't have a Wii, get it anyway and buy a Wii to play it on. It comes out this Monday, and you'll really, really enjoy it. And also, because I'm a DigiPen student, I'll be able to get Brawl 5 days early. So, assuming we get a Crystal announcement, I should be one of the first people to put up video of her in action on that of most anticipated games. So, on to Star Fox Online news. So over the past couple months, I've posted many things. On Star Fox Online, I post every week a fan creation related to Star Fox. So usually it's someone playing Star Fox music in a funny way, or someone making an actual Star Fox fan film in a similar way to the Crystal fan films we feature here on the Crystal Archive. And I also post just random stuff that's related to Star Fox. You know, do a barrel roll parodies and everything. And that's every week. Every week on Friday at noon, a new one is posted. I usually post them weeks in advance, so they're always there, always ready. But in the last couple months, as far as news goes, I reported on a couple of Star Fox-related Brawl news items, and one is that Andross will be making an appearance in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Not as the face we recognize from Star Fox 64 or later games, but his actual old-school polygonical face from the original Star Fox. And once he appears, he flies to the back of the screen and shoots polygons at you in true Andross fashion. So, out of his mouth, no less. So that's interesting. Meanwhile, they also revealed Fox's Final Smash. If you don't already know, there's a new play mechanic in Brawl called Final Smashes, and there's these Smash Orbs that you have to hit and destroy. And if you manage to hit it enough times and destroy it, it gives its power to you, the character. And once you activate it, your character does some super move. And in the case of Sonic the Hedgehog, he becomes supersonic and he can fly anywhere on the screen and attack anybody just by touching. Mario shoots an absolutely ginormous fireball. And Fox McCloud, I think, has the absolute best Final Smash because he jumps up into the top of the screen and falls down with a Landmaster. And it's not just a normal Landmaster, no. This Landmaster is approximately 4 times bigger than the normal Landmaster. So it can roll over people, run into people. It's so big that people have to stand on it. The other characters have to stand on it because there's usually not enough room on the stage. But if people are standing on it, you can do a barrel roll and they fly off and get hit by that. And to top it all off, it has the freaking big cannon on the front. Now, if you're even close to in front of the cannon when it fires, you're gone. Instant kill. And you can shoot quite rapidly. And finally, the Landmaster can hover. So it's just really awesome. So he jumps up, it falls down, you shoot, you fire, you do a barrel roll, and then finally it kind of disintegrates in a transporter beam-like haze where the polygons shift downward into a wireframe mode. It's pretty cool to see. I've posted videos of it, and you can see those on SFO if you want. And then finally, there was previously there was one cutscene where Fox McCloud was getting shot at while he's in his R-Wing by Meta Knight's ship. This is during the adventure mode of Brawl. It's going to be a really awesome adventure mode. Let me just break into that. From the looks of things, the adventure mode in Brawl is going to be like this. You start off with a scenario where Mario and Kirby are fighting in a stadium. It's in front of a huge crowd, including Peach and Zelda. Well, they fight, and whoever you win with... I think you start out as Mario, but whoever you win, when you win as Mario, Mario and Kirby wave at the crowd and everybody's friends and all happy, and then all of a sudden, Meta Knight's ship flies in from the sky and drops these purple things, which turn into enemies. And it also drops a bomb into the center of the stadium, and two Robs, robotic operating buddies from the NES days, come out of the sides and activate the bomb. It starts counting down, and Mario runs to try and defuse it, but a bullet bill shoots him, and he gets knocked out of the stadium. So Kirby's left to deal with a newly arrived boss, which is Petit Piranha from the Super Mario Sunshine game, and it captures Peach and Zelda in cages, and so you have to attack it, and depending on which one you hit most, that's who stays, and the other one gets taken by Petit Piranha. So, at the end of this fight, you have Kirby and either Peach or Zelda. And And Kirby warps you out of the, on his warp star, out of the stadium just as the bomb explodes, and it engulfs the stadium in the subspace, which is the whole thing dealing with the whole plot line. It is something about the this guy who wants to take all the stadiums, all the world, and put it into subspace. So you have to deactivate these bombs all over. Anyway, it's a really big story, but at the end of each story, or I should say at the beginning of each story, you can choose from among the two characters you have. And in that way, you can choose what looks like, if not a non-linear, a very similar to non-linear path through the game, because you can choose paths. And this is like they did with Star Fox 64, which I'm sure this is one feature you love. You can pick your path that you go throughout the game. You can certainly pick what character you use. And so I've seen all these different scenes, and one of the scenes involves Fox dodging direct fire from the Halliburd, which is Meta Knight's ship. And he dodges all the bullets or lasers, but a robotic arm reaches out and knocks his ship out of orbit. Or out of the sky. And then recently revealed, just a couple days ago, was a new cutscene where it actually shows what happens after that to Fox. His R-Wing is crash-landed and burning on the ground, and Diddy Kong is running through the jungle to go see and maybe, I guess, help Fox out, when all of a sudden a legendary Pokemon appears out of the water, because it was near a lake, and he roars and grabs Diddy Kong, and then and shoots a giant super. I guess it's probably a hyper beam attack directly at the R-wing, which makes it burn even more. But all of a sudden, the cockpit shoots open, and Fox flies up straight into the air, into the sun, in the glare of the sun, and he does his swift Fox move right through the legendary Pokemon's arm, knocking Diddy Kong out of his arm. And as Fox lands on the beach, the legendary Pokemon aims to fire one of his giant attacks at Fox, but Fox simply calmly pushes a button on his belt, and his reflector shield comes up, and the beam is reflected right back at the Pokemon, which falls back into the water, defeated, and Fox turns to Slippy as his headset appears, and he puts a mechanical eyepiece on top of it, in front of his eye, for analysis purposes, like a scouter, and he waves for Diddy Kong to come with him, and so that's probably your team for that next level. And that's just a really awesome cutscene. If you haven't seen it already, you need to see it. You really, really need to see it. So, now that I've diverged so much, let's get back to this SFO news. Another big thing I did was I posted the entire Star Fox 64 soundtrack, available for download in MP3 format. I hope you all enjoy it. You can get it as SFO at any time. Just go under Media, Audio, Music, Star Fox 64 soundtrack. I wrote two articles for Star Fox Online, and I hope to write more when I can. And these are just articles that are not just posting of media and posting of facts, but it's actually some analysis or research I've done about things. And I mean, you see in the article section of the Crystal Archive, I've done some of the same thing. So I'm adding that sort of stuff to SFO, and they're under the article section. I posted one article about plot holes in the Star Fox games, and there's a lot. Well, let me tell you a couple of them. For instance, Star Fox plot holes. We got in Star Fox 64. Why exactly is there lava on Solar, which is supposed to be a star? And then there's all kinds of inconsistencies with Star Fox Adventures. Fox's crystal staff appears on Fox's back at the end cutscene on the Great Fox before Crystal actually gets there. It just appears behind him. And the Crozoa tells Fox that there's only the pure of heart can enter their shrines. But General Scales is in there, and he's the boss of one of these shrines. Spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't played it already. And other stuff. And the other one I posted was an article about Star Fox plot... not plot holes. Memes. Now, memes. What are memes? Memes are viral phrases. they're things on the internet that people say, and they have some meaning, some history, and they're just usually funny to unusual situations. One of which, one of the more famous ones, is actually a Star Fox related one, and it's called Do a Barrel Roll. Have you ever heard of that, right?
Do a Barrel Roll!
You hear it all the time. There's all kinds of parodies of this.
To barrel roll, press Z or R twice!
And I have lots of examples on that article. And the other meme, Star Fox meme, you've already heard of because it was a major subject of the last podcast, Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich. So I posted about that too. So those are the articles. And then finally, I've been working with the main content of SFO, getting all the game-related data up to date, getting all the release dates accurate, and posting links to other sites. And I decided to go out and find out every other game, not just the main games of Star Fox, Star Fox 2, Star Fox 64, Star Fox Adventure, Star Fox Assault, and Star Fox Command, but there's other games. Other games that have appeared that are Star Fox related and or have Star Fox cameo appearances, and they should be discussed on a Star Fox website claiming to be everything you need to know about Star Fox. So I went out and researched every game I could possibly find that might have a Star Fox reference in it. You will not believe how many there are. Let me just go down the list. As far as re-releases, not counting Star Fox 2 because it gets its own page, its own main page on the main list, there is Star Fox 64 re-released for the Virtual Console on the Wii, Star Fox 64 re-released for the IQ, which only came out in China, and it's the exact same. Then there was Star Fox, the original game, Super Weekend Edition, and it was a special competition-based original Star Fox for the Super NES. And what that was, it was used by Nintendo to promote the original Star Fox. And they sent out 2,000 of these. There's only 2,000 in existence to various game stores. And when they were done with the competition, they sold them via their Nintendo Power Store. So it's one of the rarer games out there. There's only 2,000 in existence at most. Then, of course, there's all the Super Smash Bros. Game series. There's Super Smash Bros. For the N64, Super Smash Bros. Melee, and now Super Smash Bros. Brawl, all of which will feature Star Fox characters. And hopefully Brawl will have Crystal, but that's another subject. Then there's the unfinished games. Again, not counting Star Fox 2, we've got Star Fox for the Virtual Boy, which only appeared once in one announcement, and only a handful of people actually got to see it. And it was apparently a technical demo showing what a Star Fox game would be like on the Virtual Boy. Then there was Star Fox Armada, which was only mentioned once in a conference a couple years ago, at the same time that they were talking about what would later become Star Fox Assault. And it was planned to be a Star Fox arcade game using the Triforce board, the same board that they used on F-Zero G, not a- GX, AX, the arcade version. Then there's, of course, the rumored games, Star Fox for the Wii. That's one we're waiting for an announcement for. Probably we'll hear something about it in the next year. In 2008, we'll probably hear something. And there's the other category, which is games that are not really games. And that includes the Star Fox wristwatch, which I remember. That's old. They made two games that were Super NES inspired that were on watches, Super Mario World and Star Fox. And they're just little simple games with a couple buttons. Like those Tiger handhelds, little bitty games. And apparently there's actually some games that are like Tiger handhelds that were Star Fox related, so I'm still looking into that. And finally, we have cameo appearances. This is every known occurrence of Star Fox characters in other games. There's first WarioWare Smooth Moves for the Wii, where there's actually a Star Fox level. You play as, like, in the original Star Fox game, except the boss at the end of the level is actually a Rob, robotic operating buddy who's holding a pistol that shoots at you. There was Stun Race FX for the Super NES, and that had a couple levels that had Star Fox themed billboards and a couple of secret cameo appearances by R-Wings. There's P-Cross NP Volume 4 and 6, which feature puzzles that have Star Fox characters and vehicles. In Super Mario RPG, there's, I believe, an R-Wing appears in one special area. In Animal Crossing for the GameCube and Animal Crossing Wild World for the Nintendo DS, there are R-Wing items that you can obtain. In Pokemon Stadium 2, when you obtain the N64 item, one of the games that's on the shelf, I believe, is the Star Fox 64. Then an F-0X, F-0AX, F-0GX, F-0GP Legend, and F-0 Climax. There is a character in these games called James McCloud, who has a very obvious semblance to James McCloud from Star Fox, except he's far more human-looking, except he still has a fluffy hair on his head, and I think he has the fox ears, but his face is all human and all that. I don't remember if he has a tail. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, he appears in there, and it's an obvious cameo appearance for James McCloud. And also, a slightly less known one is that the people who made the R-Wings, Space Dynamics Company, are mentioned in the F-Zero series as being the same people who invented they didn't invent all of the F-Zero racers. They actually invented the racer for James McCloud in F-Zero GX, the Space Dynamics industry. And finally, in The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, there is an extremely large action replay code that you can put in to activate an actual R-Wing model that's in the game. They apparently were putting it in there for testing purposes, just probably as a model viewing thing, and they gave it the ability to fly around, aim, and shoot. And so if you activate it, it will relentlessly shoot at Link as it flies around, and you can destroy it. The easiest way to destroy it is to hit it with a boomerang. And there's numerous videos posted this on YouTube. This was discovered only about 2 years ago. So, that's it for cameo appearances. And that's it for all known appearances of Star Fox characters in games. So if you know of any other ones, please let me know. I'll add them to the list and then make a page for each one. And so that's all I have as far as SFO news. So let me, before I get into questions, I want to talk about two things briefly that I never posted about on either site. One is that Nicet, he's helped me get voice acting clips from Star Fox 64, contacted me with an additional clip from Star Fox Assault. And it's from the Corneria level, and I added it to the already existing audio in the audio section of the website. So let me play that now, what he sends, just real quick.
Should we search places that radar doesn't show?
So yeah, I added that to the list. And finally, for those of you who remember, I've featured on the podcast and on the site Cat the Leopardess. She dressed up as Crystal, the first well-known cosplayer of Crystal. Well, it turns out that a person commented on that post I made way back and said that they had done Crystal and they did it really well and better than Cat the Leopardess. And despite the unusual tone of the comment, I'm interested to see what that cosplay outfit looked like and all the great things about it. And if it really exists, I'd like to interview that person. And I emailed that person about it. And she says her name is actually Crystal. So I emailed Crystal about it and asking for pictures or something to back up her story, and I've also emailed her again because I found out that she shares the exact same email address with the administrator of the Star Fox database website, which you can look up via Google. It's easy to find. And I contacted her again about being an affiliate with Star Fox Online, and I have not received a contact I've not received a response for either of those things. So if you're listening, Crystal, please email me about both of those things. I'd like to get in contact with you and see what we can find. Okay? So that's all I have for news and discussion this week, this month, this 2 months, Crystal fans. So let's get into the massive list of questions I've had stored up since the last 2 months. All right, we're going to start off with Ryan Sharp's questions. Ryan Sharp writes, do you think that Katina or her father from Lost Kingdoms 2, or Terra or Sol, or even Gerd from Lost Kingdoms 2, or Ray 01 from Custom Robo, or John Rami from Geist will make an appearance in Brawl? What about third-party characters? Raija or the Wind Mystic from Mystic Heroes? I know these guys would be great characters or assist trophies. And besides, Crystal's number one, ultra cute, beautiful, and awesome. I'm sure she'll be in it. She's probably a secret character, so it won't be announced until the game's out. Also, he wanted me to let you guys know that there was Krazoa Palace music on Man vs. Mod. My response is that the only one that he mentioned that I think has a remote possibility of being in Brawl is the Ray 101 from Custom Robo, because I'm pretty sure that was a Nintendo-created game. The others are just too obscure or not closely related enough to Nintendo to be in it. Also, Crystal is not the most requested character, but she's number one on my list. And as far as dealing with the Krazoa Palace music, this isn't the first time that Adventure's music has appeared elsewhere. It turns out that I found an existence of this months ago. Over a year ago. Back when I first joined the Star Fox Online, before I made the Crystal Archive. It turns out that the composer of Star Fox Adventures had used some audio libraries that were publicly available for purchase, and so some of the instrumentation and the ditties you can hear in this show are also from Star Fox. They buy this music to use in shows and games. And actually, when I did hear about it, the first time I hear about it was I found some Krazoa Palace music being played during Animal Planet's The Most Extreme. And I posted it online, and I'll play the clip for you now.
In fact, some animals are so unusual that not even their closest cousins would recognize them. Our next contender is thought to be a primate. Now, when we look at our distant relatives, usually we see a hairy version of ourselves. They have four fingers, an opposable thumb, and their faces remind us of our own. But coming in at number three in the countdown of extreme oddities is a primate so different, it looks more like a collection of leftover body parts.
So you hear in the background there's that subtle Krazoa Palace music. It's not all of the music from Krazoa Palace, it's just one of the ditties combined with other ditties that Adventures didn't use. Okay? So, next question, or letter, is from Bradley Spores, who writes, another good podcast. Maybe if you could get some meat on your sandwich, you'd enjoy it more. When you're giving advice about getting a job, or a course doing video game design, there were a few things you missed out that maybe you could use yourself. One, employment. Most people who get game design-related qualifications don't get jobs. A lot of people want in, so make sure you have a lot of friends already inside the industry. Two, the right people. Again, having friends in high places is a must. There, or else many places won't have. This includes universities. Also keep any disabilities under your hat or they will kick you out. Games have become like movies. It's not how good you are or what you know, but who you know and what way you can get your foot in the door. Number three, get out of bed. Of the few who know the right people and have flawless fashionable appearance, most fail. The simple reason is that they were lazy. ripped off other people's games. They thought that they could stay in bed, rip a Flash game, change the name in the credits, and photocopy art from their favorite games. 4. Make games from home. Even those who are games educated still sit around with no job watching daytime TV. If people say you cannot do it at home. If you truly believe in making games is what you want to do, you will find a way. This is just my opinion from experience. I'm currently trying to get Blender 3D to work so I can make films, and I'm going to make a 2D scrolling fighting game. These are on pause at the moment as I have another project that I need to finish within a time limit. If I ever put Crystal in it, you'll be the first to know. Have a good one. My response. There is meat on my sandwich, I'll have you know. I just tend to put a lot of lettuce on my sandwiches. It can often be the only vegetable I eat these days. Just kidding. Well, mostly, I do eat a lot of lettuce and not much else. But it's good for you. Eat your vegetables, kids. In regards to your points about game design, I am hearing a lot inside DigiPen about knowing the right people and how that's important to getting a job. But that's not all it takes. You really have to work hard. I mean, you don't even have to be that smart. I'm not that smart. I don't think I am. But people tell me I am, and I think it's just because I work hard. I work hard at what I do. And so you work hard, you learn what you need, and you try and meet people. And it's easy to meet people at DigiPen. I'm not so sure. I don't know how much so at other places, but do your best when meeting people, but also make sure you have the skills to back it up. Anyway, good luck with your various projects. Yoshio writes, first of all, great website. Just wanted to state the obvious. But anyway, I wanted to know if anyone or you have ever found that rock intro from Star Fox Adventures where they're playing the cutscene on the Bridge of the Great Fox. I've been looking everywhere for it. Yes, I know where it is. That song is part of the credits music. So go to the link I'll be posting in the show notes. You can find it on gh.ffshrine.org. They list all these MP3s, and one of them, the credits music from Star Fox Adventures, has, as part of it, that rock song. It's not very long, but it's a rock version of the Star Fox theme. So go there and check it out. Fox of Infinity writes, I just saw that Crystal will be in the game, but as what? Non-playable character? Maybe. One thing I do know is that she won't be a standard character, but maybe a secret character. How do I know? My brother found a film that showed the character selection menu, and Crystal wasn't there. So she can only, and we can all hope that she will, be a secret character. I can't remember where I found it, but I have seen it. Well, Fox of Infinity, no one has actually seen the official character selection. At least, no one who's posted online. I would have already seen it, and have been able to identify that it was probably real. As of now, I've seen upwards of 30 or 40 faked character selection screens. Not that they're trying to be fake, a lot of times they just say, this is what I'd like to see. But sometimes people really do try and trick people. You can always tell a fake video game related screenshot visual announcement by looking at three things. These three simple steps, alright? Number one, does it feature art from previous games? If yes, it's almost definitely fake, because games, no matter how similar a game may be, they almost always make some tweak to the main character models. And if the character models are in the same poses and look exactly the same as in previous games, which is what you see on 99% of these faked things, then you can be pretty sure that it's fake. The second thing you can do is look and see, does it feature art that has a similar style as those things that have been officially revealed, but is new art, new poses, or slightly different looking art? Then you can, if that's true, then yes, it probably is real. And then finally, third, does it feature information that was not previously available? For instance, does it show off a previously unrevealed character as part of this revelation? If that's true, then it's probably fake, because most of the time, you're not going to see a new character revelation as part of an image, unless it was featured officially. You're going to see a new character revelation via text first, and then via image. So it's probably fake if it reveals information not previously known. I came up with these rules when I saw what I believe to be, if not the final artwork, the mock-up artwork, the official mock-up artwork for Super Smash Bros. Brawl. It had art that was obviously from the same style as the Brawl art we've seen before, but every single character was in a different pose. It was none of them, none of the art was from previous games. And additionally, it came from a reliable source. But you can't always trust reliable sources because they may be posting things that, they may say it's a rumor, but we're posting it anyway. So you can't always trust where it came from. And finally, almost 100% of the time, fakes use previously released art. Now, there's one example I can think of that was completely faked, that had art that was not previously used in a previous game, and that was the Nintendo On promo video by Cycolar. And I have posted a link in the show notes showing the video, and that was back before the Revolution became the Wii, and before they revealed what the play mechanic of the motion control was, and he showed all this incredible 3D art in a video that he had made himself in only a week. And it featured stuff that really truly looked like it could have been made by Nintendo. So it fooled a lot of people. I was not fooled because of the sheer impossibility of the technology. We do not have the technology to develop the system that he was describing. But art-wise, very accurate. So be on the lookout for fakes. Most of the time, if you think something is new, a new revelation, you can be pretty sure that other sites will have picked up on it. Official news sites will have picked up on the fact that this is unusually realistic art, and so they can say, well, this is probably real. That's what they did with the Brawl box art when I saw it. And we got one last question from CJ. CJ writes, "Hey, how are you? I'd like the list you have online of different Star Fox news, and I happened to run across it on Google. I was wondering if you could help me. Do you know anyone who's worked for either Namco or Rare who worked on Crystal or the other games in general as a modeler? I've been searching to try and find someone from the company. I would love to talk to them about models and companies and what companies expect for demo reels and whatnot. I'm an up-and-coming character modeler, and I'm still in school, and I'm looking to make some connections with the companies I love. If you have any links to their personal web pages, all character models I have, I just need a name, right? And I would really appreciate it. Thank you, sir, for all your help in this matter." Well, CJ, I've already sent him this response. I only know two people right now, or as far as websites go. I know two of the character animators, not modelers, but animators. They have their own sites. There's Nick Southam and Michael Cawood, or Kaywood, and they were both character animators for Star Fox Adventures. Other than that, I can recommend that you go through the credits and Adventures and Assault and see if you can find those people's names if they have websites. And good luck to you in your career and for finding out more information. So that's it for our letters. And so I'm going to close the podcast by saying that by the time you hear this podcast, either late on Saturday night or early on Sunday, you should be on the lookout all next week for Crystal-related announcements in Brawl. And I'm super excited myself, and I can't wait to see it. And they make announcements at 11 p.m. now that daylight savings time is over. So at 11 p.m. or so every night, I'll be checking. And if anything happens, you'll be one of the first to know by going to the Crystal Archive and checking it out. So have a great week and great month, everybody. This has been episode number 14 of the Crystal Archive podcast. I'm Dwight House, signing off.